Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Molly and Haw talk Cubs baseball in Chicago sports every weekday morning, 5:30 to 10 on 670 The Score in the Odyssey app. Shouldn't that say Spiegel and Holmes on there?
Someday we'll get that big morning show promotion. Coom, right now it's all them.
Afternoon show's pretty popular too.
Afternoons on The Score.
The pitch on the way. A ground ball to short. Scooped up by Bogarts, goes to second. One over to first. Double play. The ball game is over. 6-4-3 on the double play. Tricky hop for Bogarts. He was able to glove it, shovel it to Cronenworth, who fired to first for the game ending 6-4-3 double play. So the Padres have forced a third and final game, and it's coming up tomorrow.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We're not here for a long time, but damn it, we're here for a good time. We hope. Maybe it'll be a better time tomorrow. Here's what we have planned for you. We're going to talk about what happened over at Wrigley Field. Alex is there. Tanny is here. Studs is helping out. That man is Matt Spiegel.
What do you say, Lawrence Holmes? Paul Zerang is here, staying late and helping out.
My Ute!
It is a score group effort. When the
back in the radio days, the Zerangs were awesome.
Yeah, they were, and they still are. They still are, Mr. Foley, sir. So it's a group effort when the Cubs get into the playoffs, and we get at least one more day of the Cubs in the playoffs. Lawrence, would you believe the vibes here today are different than they were yesterday?
Yeah, you could feel it, though. I was writing it down early on in the game when there was still a lot of hope. And that it feels like the Wrigley crowd is starting to morph a little bit into a soccer crowd where there's chanting that's going on outside of the tense, like, high leverage moments. Like, I'm starting to dig that a little bit from listening to him. But then once it's like, man, the lineup's just getting shut down and it's strikeout after strikeout and 102, 103, 104.5 mile per hour fastballs that guys are not even coming close to, that could definitely take away a little bit of your joy.
Yeah, it definitely started to get quiet and tight after the Manny Machado home run, which we will definitely, of course, talk about and all the circumstances surrounding it. But I'd say between the Machado home run and the end of this game with the double play you just heard there, as called by Pat Hughes, there was literally, by my count, one strike of maximum Wrigley excitement. And it was the 3-2 pitch to Seiya. I literally, at that moment, when it was 3-2 to Seiya and you needed one more base runner after the Tucker single, needed one more base runner to bring the tying run to the plate, I looked around and I literally thought to myself, all right, here you go. I was down in section 125. And like, I literally look around. I'm like, there, all the towels are waving. People are feeling the possibilities. Here comes your energy. And then double play ball, hell of a play by Bogarts. And that was that. So very much an unrewarded crowd based on the outcome of the day.
Padres bullpen for this game, 5 1/3 One hit, no runs, six strikeouts for them. And the total for strikeouts for the Cubs in this series is 24. So 13 yesterday, 11 today. The lineup is struggling to manufacture runs. They're struggling to hit the ball out of the yard. They're struggling to even get a piece when you start talking about all the strikeouts that they have. Mm-hmm. And it's tomorrow will be interesting because Yu Darvish is slated to start for the Padres. Jameson Taillon is going to start for the Cubs. It was just announced a little while ago. And J-Mo, I was listening to him in postgame. Like, he's really excited about it. And he said something, Speaks, I thought was interesting, that sitting there not being able to do anything makes him more nervous than actually pitching.
No, I could see that. I could totally see that. You and I had talked all last week about maybe J-Mo is a long man, possibly, in the first two games. It was Colin Ray who was set up to be the long man, and then he didn't get used until later in this game when I expected him to be used, which was part of the story. But look, you mentioned the offense, man, and it is undeniable that there are a couple people that are just broken right now. Pete Crow Armstrong is a mess at the plate right now. And the opposition knows how to get him out, and they're doing it. Ian Happ's September of excellence, where he reclaimed the third spot in this lineup, has evaporated. And he looks more like the Ian Happ that got demoted down to seven in this lineup at one point.
And PCA looks twisted.
Yeah, PCA's twisted. Ian Happ is a mess. Kyle Tucker came up with that single in the ninth, but he had looked to be a mess. Nico is still Nico, man. He had two hits taken away, one off the foot of the pitcher.
That one's crazy. I've never seen it. A ball of that velocity bounce off a pitcher right to the first baseman.
Right to the first baseman. Then Arraez did this thing where he takes the ball and tags the base with the ball. That had bag written all over it.
Well, I mean the Padres team has definitely got some agitators in their lineup.
But they do. And they all have some swag. Tatis and Machado and Arraez. But Arraez is just weird. He's always been a little weird.
He likes to bring attention to himself.
It's not about you, sweetheart.
He really does. So there was that one. And then Nico's drive down the right field line.
Yep.
That Tatis makes a great play on down there right field. So anyway, Nico is Nico. I think Dansby Swanson's approach to the plate has actually been really, really good overall. He's been just making contact and not trying to hit a home run every time. Like, Saya's had a pretty good approach, but it's Pete and it's Happ and it's Tucker up until that single in the ninth that just have felt like empty at-bats through a couple of games.
All right, so I'm out of here. Actually, I'm not. I'm going to hang around, but the Spiegel and Holmes show is out of here. Like, this thing that happens from 2 until 6 or whenever we get on until 6 o'clock, that's over. What's coming up next, though?
Yeah.
Hit and Run,
dude,
is coming up next, and I get to be a guest on it.
Not just a guest. You get to co-host. You've been talking about wanting to host Hit and Run for a long time. Let's be honest.
It's true, and now I get my chance, and it looks like I'll get my chance tomorrow, too.
Oh, yeah, you might. Yeah, oh, geez. Yeah, it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the Spiegel at Home show is now over. Hit and Run is coming up. Do we take calls? Like, what do we do? Like,
yeah, man, we can definitely take calls, and we will start by addressing Shota Imanaga being allowed to pitch to Manny Machado for that 2-run home run. We have to start right there and talk about what seems to have happened in Craig Counsell's mind during that game.
All right, that's coming up next. Hit and Run. We're staying live and we're staying local. 312-644-6767 is the number. Hit and Run with Spiegel and Holmes is next on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now it's time for a special Hit and Run, Chicago's premier baseball show, starring Matt Spiegel on 670 The Score.
It is indeed a special Hit and Run. This is what we wanted. Postseason baseball, postseason radio, and low brass cranked to the gills by Chris Tannehill. You know, Chris Tannehill's been dying to work this show. I mean, every Sunday morning texting me saying, is Sean Anderson still there? Is Sean Sears still there? Like, where are all of these people?
I was never good enough to work this show when I was a part-timer, so this is a real thrill.
Well, congratulations to you. And for the first time, I have a co-host during the week who actually might even listen or even want to be on Hit and Run. Lawrence Holmes is here for the hour.
What's Hello, up? Everybody. This Hi. Is weird.
Yeah, it is. Right?
I haven't been in this time slot in 7 years.
I didn't even think about that. That is hilarious.
It's like old times. Tanny, here we are.
Lawrence is going to play the role of Barry Rosner as the co-host, and he's just going to have a cigar the entire show.
Yeah. Well, Barry keeps texting me with random baseball things he just learns, like today. Like, literally last night he texted me and said, Aroldis Chapman is no longer on the Yankees. I wanted you to know that. Like, oh, thank you so much, Barry. Appreciate it. Thank God you're here.
That's a very important note, considering what he did last night.
Dude, he started out that inning at 95 and he amped it up to a .02 by the end of it.
Yeah, seeing guys throw over 100 miles an hour over the last 24 hours has not been fun.
Mason Miller is a beast, and he was, folks, always available, and unless he was doing something, but he's pitching for the Padres now. Mason Miller and Juan Duran, the two absolute closer weapons that moved at the deadline, and neither to the Cubs. But they might be okay. They might still be okay. And they pitched pretty damn well the entire second half. Look, Lawrence, let's get right to it because I know we have phone calls and I want to talk with you plenty about this. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell. But if you have decided that you're going to go with an opener, you have expressed a lack of confidence in your starting pitcher, Shota Imanaga. You've expressed that you have decided that the strategy is better to have a power righty like Andrew Kittredge face Tatis and Machado, at least in inning number one. And regardless of how that went, once Shota Imanaga comes in, you know he's not going to get those guys a third time. You know that for sure. When they were coming up for the second time, there in possibly the fourth inning, he had Colin Ray warming up. And I texted the show thread and said, oh, wow, he's not even going to let him face Tatis and Machado the second time. That is bold. That is aggressive. and it fits what he did yesterday. And then they get out of that inning, and the next inning, their Shota's still there. And then with first base open and Machado up, you could have walked Machado, or you could have gone to Mike Soroka.
Who was ready, according to Craig.
And so now it's not Colin Ray. Where was Colin Ray? What changed? What happened? And we got answers in the postgame that we can hear. But it's the inconsistency of the strategy that is fascinating. As you said in the show thread, Lawrence, if that's your strategy, then go with your strategy. Instead, Shota gets to face Machado. Shota's been giving up a lot of homers. Machado hits a lot of them. And that's the one guy and the one matchup in this game that's not supposed to kill you.
Yeah, and it did. And Xander Bogaerts said after the game that home run, obviously a team hits a home run, it gives a team confidence. He's like, but that cushion, the two-run cushion that you get after you already have put one run on the board, it meant a lot. And Mike Schilt said that they were able to kind of go, okay, once we get to the top of the fourth inning and we see how Cease is, we're able to set up the bullpen however we want. Yeah. And they used it to perfection today against Cubs batters. But yeah, I just sit there and I go, if this was the whole thing, if the whole bit was you're going to start Kittredge so that Shota isn't put in a position like that, and then Kittredge gives up a run early on in his inning of work, and then you've got Shota out there, I wonder if all of it like spooked him. And afterwards he said, you know, that I kind of went with my gut there. Shota was pitching great, like all this stuff.
That's the thing, Lawrence. Let's listen to Craig and let's talk about it. This is Craig Counsell explaining the decision to leave Shota in there to face Machado in the fifth.
Yeah, I mean, look, the result suggested we should have done something different. Really just confidence in Shota. Plain and simple there. I thought he was pitching well. I thought he was throwing the ball really well. Unfortunately, he made a mistake.
Sad day.
Did you consider going to Soroka?
Yeah. No, I mean, we considered walking Machado, wasn't going to put Soroka in, considered walking Machado.
Just overall, you kind of touched on it briefly there, but just what did you think of Shota's stuff and his overall command?
No, I thought he pitched very well. I thought the stuff was crisp. There was a couple walks, but I thought that was just like giving him his best stuff. And I thought he threw the ball well.
Andy, just for clarity, was Soroka ready if you had gone to him from Machado? Yeah, like he was warm?
Yeah, he was. There was a couple spots we were thinking about him at. Yeah.
So look, he pivoted from Ray to Soroka from the fourth to the fifth. And that seems to be part of what buried him. Because if it's Ray, then maybe he feels a little more confident just to go to Ray. So something changed.
Do you think that Ray like maybe warmed up and maybe didn't feel right and they had to back off of that as a plan?
I thought about that as a possibility, but then Ray came in later. He came in later, so I feel like it was the pivot to Soroka. Frankly, here's what I think happened, Lawrence.
Okay.
I think he went with his gut and was confident in Shota. And this is baseball, that you go with your gut sometimes, and it goes against what your gut actually had said before. You know? Or in this case, what happened is you've got a by-the-book manager who is relentlessly emotionless in his thought process and the way that he describes it. No, they're outgetters, you know, and describes it in a dispassionate way. And then in the moment, he was a player. He was a guy. He was a human who went with his gut and thought, you know what? I think Shota's actually rolling and he's pretty good. And the result is terrible. So it's shocking. It's just, I thought he was going to stick with the book, and the book worked beautifully yesterday, and he's such a by-the-book guy that it's shocking to see him go with his gut, and it blows up in his face.
Well, that's why I wonder about being spooked by the Kittredge thing, where yeah, it's only a run, but the whole idea was get through those three guys so that Shota doesn't have to deal with them. And then the guys at the top of the order for the Padres, Tatis, Arise, and Machado, end up getting on base four times. They end up, I'm sorry, five times, and drive in two runs. So, and score three runs. Mm-hmm. So all the things that you were worried about happened when you went with the numbers and with the strategy. Yeah. And then you're like, well, then screw it. Let's go away from the strategy and go with the gut. And then that ends up biting you too.
Yeah, it's a good point. And maybe he ends up getting spooked by his own thing. Because remember, this is a guy who does feel it like a human and a player. He said yesterday that Seiya's home run, that's the kind of home run that just changes the entire stadium. Like, he knows how things feel, and he knows that that matters. So, it's baseball, where it can get in your way. I just know that everybody around the game, on TV, on social media, in the stands, in our group chat, in the press box, was not expecting Shota Imanaga to get Manny Machado. And he did. You got to walk him. At the very least, you have to walk Machado.
And give him a chance against Merrill.
Pitch to Merrill. And then you could bring in Soroka to Bogarts if you absolutely need to after that. At the very least, with first base open, you just cannot let Shota pitch to Machado. It's a massive mistake.
You want to talk to the people?
Let's do it.
All right, let's start. This is Hit and Run. It's a special Hit and Run. I'm Lawrence, by the way, for those of you who don't know me. I'm just here hanging out. Chris Tanhill is here. Tyler Buterbaugh has now jumped in. Baby T is running around here. Robbie Triano was in for a second. This is an all-star cast we got going on. Fats Domino, Hub Arkish.
Doesn't get any better than this.
That's right. Let's go out to Brett, who's calling from Ottawa. Hey, Brett, you're on Hit and Run.
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
We're good, Brett. Thanks,
we're all right, man. Hey. How about you?
Yeah, we're just sitting in traffic. We went up to the game today. I don't know how you don't think, I mean, in my mind, just watching Ian Happ out there, that it's not like a flashback to like 2016, and I see a modern day Jason Hayward. I mean, every 3-2 count, not just with him, but with all the hitters today. Pete took one, but he got called for a strike three. But I mean, everybody else was swinging and missing. No walks today. We got one hit by pitch. I don't know. It's just tough to watch.
It's a very, very aggressive Padres pitching staff.
And that, Carson Kelly did walk today.
There you go. It was intentional. It was intentional so they could get to Pete. I mean, which is crazy. Let's stay on that for a second, Lawrence. Can you imagine if we were talking about it in May?
Or June,
that in the playoffs they're going to intentionally walk Carson Kelly so they can face Pete Crow Armstrong? But that was Morjon, Adrian Morjon of the Padres, their lefty, who went, 2 1/3? I mean, he was phenomenal today. But this Padres pitching staff just goes right at you. They throw hard, and they throw strikes, and they go right at you. And there certainly was some anxiety as the Cubs got down there. But, yeah, not a lot of walks. I just wanted them to be up there hunting fastballs and making great contact. Michael Busch almost went deep again to lead off that game. He got a big, deep fly, but it didn't get enough of it.
And the conditions weren't quite right for a ball hit there to go out the yard.
You're right. Wind blowing in, and that has that presents a problem for a team that needs power, and this team needs power.
Only three at-bats for the Cubs with runners in scoring position.
Woof.
Man. Yeah, that makes things rough. Let's talk to Matt. He's on the north side. Hey, Matt, you're on Hit and Run.
Hey, guys. Thank you. Yeah. Producer said don't lead with the walk Machado, but yes, walk Machado. Anyway,
yeah.
I've never been less excited about a 3-4-5 hitting sequence or lineup to start a rally than I was today with Hap, Tucker, Seiya. Seiya, all right, he's probably most exciting, but all day, my friend chat, like you talked about your chat, Tucker, Hap, put Hap on the bench, put Tucker out in the field. That guy's got one leg in a Dodgers uniform anyways. Put Mo Baller at the DH.
He literally has one leg. That's the problem.
Yeah. He's got one leg in a Dodgers.
I don't get it. Like the $400 million. Go sell crazy someplace else with the $400 million. You had two good months. I get it. Maybe with some injuries, but it's in
look, man, look, Tucker was a good player, okay? He got hurt, and there's nothing you can do about that. He's one of the best players in the National League this year. I get that it's frustrating, but I don't want to just wipe away everything that he did because it's ending this way. And he got you a hit today. Like, you could be mad at a lot of people, but at least he got a hit and gave you an opportunity to put the winning run in the hole.
Yeah, and Seiya, you're wrong about your thoughts on Seiya right now. Seiya is confident right now. We have seen Seiya vacillate in terms of his confidence at the plate and obviously in the field, but I think he's a pretty damn good version of himself right now. Coming off that National League Player of the Week, homered yesterday, had a double. He had the only extra base hit, that double down the line, and that's a real good at bat in the ninth before the hard grounder that unfortunately ends up being a double play, but he works that full. He's been aggressive, and I thought he made some nice aggressive plays out there in right field. He called PCA off one time on a ball that was in the sun, and I think he was right to do it. Remember, we've seen Pete struggle with balls in the sun
Yes. A
couple of different times this year? So I'm assuming that they have discussed that, and Seiya confidently called PCA off, and I'm like, hell yeah. Then he made another nice long-running play down the right field lawn. Seiya's not your problem. Ian Happ is a problem and shouldn't hit third tomorrow. He should absolutely not hit third. You want to leave him out there for the Gold Glove defense in left field? Cool. He should be a seven hitter tomorrow. I could see moving Dansby up. I could see getting who's your lefty with a spot start? Because Mo Baller can't play if Tucker plays. If Tucker and Say are playing, Mo Baller has no spot. And I think Tucker plays tomorrow. And I'm fine with Tucker playing tomorrow.
I haven't looked at the numbers because Yu Darvish didn't pitch against the Cubs this season. I guess you have to start looking at career numbers, and maybe there's a reason that you do keep Happ where he is. Maybe he sees Darvish, but there's not a lot of options when you know that you've kind of got to back PCA down because of where he's at mentally.
Yeah, I go PCA 8 and Shaw 9 tomorrow is what I do. I go ahead and move Tucker up. I move Tucker and Seiya and probably Carson up. And then I go Happ, PCA, Swanson, and Shaw. And maybe I even swap Happ and Swanson. I mean, it's a blow to the confidence of a guy in Happ, but he's a grown-up and he's an adult and he already did it this year. Remember they had to sit him down for one game when they told him that they were moving him down the lineup, gave him like the one-day mental break. But, I mean, you can't hit him third the way he's swinging it right now. I don't think you can hit him third tomorrow.
Let's go to Morton Grove and talk with Brandon. Hey, Brandon, you're on Hit and Run.
What's good, fellas? Man, I feel privileged to be on this special edition Hit and Run. I was feeling low, but the low bras brought me back up, man.
There it is. Oh, we're happy to help. We get you some low brass. Like, that's beautiful.
So my thing here is, you know, for the whole year, our bullpen has been, for the most part, our strong suit. So you can understand why Council did the opener thing. But what Coon was saying on the broadcast, Shota's bread and butter, the split, wasn't working for him today. He did have good velocity, but he had control issues. You've seen the walks. I'm surprised Council didn't see that and have a quicker chain on him and getting him out of there. I would have felt more comfortable putting Ray out there, and working our bullpen, you know, as soon as he started walking guys. And I just think he could have had a quicker leash. As far as the at-bats, our 3-2 counts, you know, I agree with the other caller. You know, you need to work those counts to get walks if you're not, you know, putting the bat on the ball. You got to get on base somehow. And, Coom also brought up a good point. Seiya's been aggressive early in the count, so maybe that's what all our hitters need to do. Just try and jump on that fastball. And if you saw on the south side, that was working pretty well for the White Sox.
Yeah, they just got to hunt fastballs, especially against Cease. Like, Cease's results this year, and often, frankly, are not as good as the sum of his parts. Like, that's a 4.55 ERA. Cease has blown up an awful lot this year because that fastball is gettable. And sometimes he can't find the strike zone with the other stuff a little bit. Was not the case today. But, you know, they do need to – I thought they would hunt fastballs and be a little bit more aggressive against Dylan. Here's the thing. It's the key moment of the game. Colin Ray is warming up in the fourth. And Freddie Fermin, who had already doubled off Shota, leads off the fifth. I thought we'd see Ray to start the fifth, and we didn't. Then I thought maybe we'd see Ray for Tatis, but he wasn't even warming up by then. All of a sudden, it's Soroka. So that's where things got wacky. and Tatis walks. Then Arise is a good bat. They take the bat out of his hand with a sacrifice bunt, and that's a gift where all of a sudden you don't have to face Machado. So that could have been Soroka or it could have been a walk. And instead it's Shota, as the caller says, with his split not working as well as it should be on a day like today, which Craig didn't say. Craig said he thought the stuff was crisp, but maybe Craig and Coombs saw it differently. But letting Shota pitch to Machado is not going to age very well. Doesn't sit well right now, and it's not going to age well unless the Cubs can get a win tomorrow.
Speaks, would you like to know the contingencies for Game 3 tomorrow?
Yeah, is this for contingencies for first pitch? Because it's wacky. Is that
yes.
what you're talking about?
Yes,
yeah, please,
this
please.
Is courtesy of Marquee and obviously MLB.
Yeah.
If the Yankees and Reds win tonight, then the Cubs game will start at 2:08. If the Yankees and Dodgers win, the game will start at 4:08. If the Red Sox and Reds win, the game will start at 5:08. And if the Red Sox and Dodgers win, the game will start at 6:38. So there's a lot going on there.
So what time does our guy Nico have to set the alarm? Is the question.
I think Nico's going to be up at 3 a.m. regardless.
In full uni.
Yep. With, just going to sleep in his uniform.
That dude is such a baller.
And wake up ready to play no matter what.
Yeah. Like, Nico's not the problem. Saya is not the problem. I don't think Dansby is the problem. I don't think Michael Bush is the problem.
I've been in full uni since 9:45.
That's Terry Francona, who loves the game. But he's turned into a bad manager. Have you noticed this,
Lawrence? I have. I mean, there was not really a lot he could have done last night.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
Didn't they overcome the largest deficit in modern era? Yeah, bad manager, though, huh?
And no, that was Stephen Vogt in Cleveland.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Well, he moved over.
I mean, the Reds made it to the playoffs.
It's not a different team.
No, it doesn't matter.
I told you, when I say I don't watch the sport anymore, I'm not joking.
No, look, he's not a bad manager in terms of an atmosphere provider. He's a wonderful guy, but he's doing some really crazy, terrible things. I love Francona, but he's got a third baseman in right field in Marte who made an idiotic play last night.
He sure did.
He's got a first baseman in Steer that he keeps putting in left field and doesn't know what he's doing. He pinch hit last night with this guy Stewart, then put him out there and let him play defense because he's dreaming of another at bat when he's down 6-0. Like, Tito's struggling. He's struggling. A little bit.
And yet here they are in the postseason, the Reds.
Here
yes,
they are.
They'll have a
chance tonight, but you looked up and I think that the home run that Shohei hit last night was like a 36-degree angle, too.
Insulting.
It was an absolute bomb.
Yeah. You know what? You know what would be good? Some of those home runs at Wrigley Field.
Tomorrow's forecast, I think, calls for it, though, right? We're high in the mid-80s tomorrow.
Hmm.
So you would think that the winds would turn around a little bit and make it a more offensive environment.
Yu Darvish is capable of a full-on shove.
He is. He is also 39, though.
He's 39. His season has been very up and down. But if you look at the game logs, you can look at a couple and you're like, oh, look at that. He was freaking dominant like the Yu Darvish of old. And I wonder, God, man.
If it's still in there?
I know it's still in there because I saw it a couple of times this year. But Dylan Cease with a little revenge start at Wrigley, and then Yu Darvish with a little quiet revenge. Even though he's a good dude, and they parted on good terms after the trade and everything.
Well, no Cub fan liked the way that thing went down.
Damn right. Nor should they. That was a straight-up salary dump, and now you get a chance to watch Yu Darvish possibly end your season tomorrow? That's among the many things that doesn't feel great.
Boy, you're right, Speaks. You, with Yu Darvish, like, you know, usually with you, when he's walking everyone, like, that's what I would worry about tomorrow if I'm the Padres. Like, Yu starts walking people, but he hasn't walked more than two guys in, like, at least six starts.
Yeah, and if you're looking, Tony, there's, like, four starts ago, he went, like, eight innings and struck out 11 or something, right? Like, he had one of those full-on Darvish shove starts.
He's had four walks in the last month.
Yeah.
So
again, good stuff.
Hunt just fastballs?
Come after you. Hunt fastballs against a guy with a damn good pitch mix, though, who's smart enough to make you to make you pay for it.
Isn't his pitch arsenal 12?
Yeah, if they're anxious, if the Cubs are anxious at the plate tomorrow, if they fall behind early tomorrow, it's gonna the tension's going to be high.
All right, well, apparently we're doing Xanax for all of the Cubs hitters and for Cubs fans.
And for hosts on this station.
There's no doubt about that. Let's take a break. And when we come back, more Cubs fans would like to call and talk about this team. This is a special edition of Hit and Run. That's Matt Spiegel. I'm Lawrence Holmes. We're live until 7 o'clock here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
He's good. He's been pretty good for a few years now.
That velocity, have you seen it before anywhere?
I don't think I have. But yeah, it's coming at you 102, 103.
And now the payoff pitch from Miller. On strike three. Mason Miller has just struck out the side in the seventh inning.
Mason Miller struck out the side in the seventh inning, and then he stayed in to start the eighth inning for the Padres against the Cubs, and he struck out the first two guys there too. So that would be five in a row, and then he hit Michael Bush with a slider that bounced and got taken out. Until that time that he hit a batter, the last 11 batters he had faced were all strikeouts.
He's absurd. Like, absurd.
Yeah.
I remember Tom House talking with Pablo Torre, and I don't know if I ever sent you that interview, but you should hear it. Like, as someone who loves this stuff, he theorizes that the human arm can get up to 118 with perfect form, training, and just trying to get as much velocity as possible. He thinks where we're at right now, that you can get an arm to do that. And now we're seeing guys stay in 99 and a half as what their average fastball is. watching that and with the movement that he has too,
yeah,
it's terrifying.
There was an inning earlier this year where Mason Miller threw an immaculate inning where it's 9 pitches, 9 strikes, strike out the side, and they were all sliders. So you just talked about the fastball and the velocity. He did that with all sliders because the terror of that fastball going with the nastiness of the slider makes him absolutely ridiculous. It's a bonus hit and run here on 670 The Score. It's Cubs post game is what it is.
Yep.
After Zach Zaidman's post game. And Lawrence Holmes is with me, Matt Spiegel, here on Hit and Run. We're here until 7 when Judson Richards will step in and he will do the post. It's not the after party or the after party. It's the after party.
And wasn't Judson a part of the Padres organization at some point? Wasn't he doing post game for him?
Yeah, Judson has done pre and post years and years ago with the San Diego Padres. So he knows about that organization and has obviously done a wonderful job doing Cubs pre and post and a whole bunch of other stuff here at The Score. But yeah, that Mason Miller thing, look, when it was time to go get a power arm or two at the deadline, starters weren't available. So teams pivoted to relievers. And the Padres, as led by A.J. Preller, went out and got Mason Miller. They gave up a lot to get him. The only top 100 prospect, I believe, the only top 100 prospects that moved in the entire trade deadline batch were moved to either get Mason Miller from by the Padres or Joan Duran from the Twins by the Phillies. That's what teams did, and we've yet to see the Phillies who have a bye, but here's Mason Miller as a deadly weapon for the Padres.
So, Speegs, how are you feeling about tomorrow? Like, as we sit here right now, because you're someone that often offers optimism and hope to people.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about tomorrow's game?
Got to get an early lead. I'm feeling like the anxiety of too many of the bats has a chance to kick in. And the Padres' arms are fearsome. And I know that Adrian Morejon went 2 1/3. Maybe he can't go tomorrow?
No. Come on, Speaks. I've already told you.
Mason Miller went 1 2/3 after pitching yesterday. Maybe he can't go tomorrow?
You know who's available tomorrow.
Yeah.
Johnny Allstaff is available to pitch tomorrow.
I remember going into game 3 of the White Sox against the then Oakland A's in the 2020 weird-ass first round that was a best of 3. And thinking that Liam Hendricks wasn't available for game 3. You remember that? Because he threw like crazy. His usage in that game was insane.
Didn't he have like 32 pitches or something like that the day before? And you're like, yeah, at least they got him in 32 pitches. And then here he comes.
Yeah, I remember the conversation being, well, he's not going to go. So, yeah, tomorrow, Padres, you ask Mason Miller, who's young and under salary control.
Go give me 3 hitters.
And he probably will. So, look, if you are trailing, that Padres bullpen is ridiculous. They didn't use Estrada today. They used Suarez, but they can use him again because they didn't use him yesterday. So I don't have a great sense of optimism, Lawrence, and I don't like it.
I don't like this. This is not good at all.
I know. I got to work on it. Maybe
I actually feel pretty good, but the thing is the thing that I feel good about, the Cubs have actually done. They've pitched well in this series, and I'm a J-Mo guy. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing him pitch tomorrow, and he looks like he's up for the challenge. But you got to hit. You can't win if you don't score.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. So that's the offense. And I hope Craig's not caught in between his gut and a book. I hope he's not caught. Go ahead and be you, Craig. And if being you is to be, you know, relentlessly dispassionate and just go matchups and be aggressive, then go ahead and do that. I wonder what the leash is with J-Mo in that way, you know? I mean, it's a righty, so it's not going to, like, you're going to be worried about Machado and Tatis specifically in terms of the splits. But it's, I hope Craig's not caught in between, like we've seen hitters get in between sometimes.
I'm watching the Yankees-Red Sox game, and now it's tied in 3, and I was wondering why Rodon was still out there, but he just gave up a game-tying home run.
Wow.
I just wanted to bring it up because I looked over the shoulder of the right-handed batter's box, and guess who I see? Steve Sciarrapa. He's there at the game. Friend of the Spiegel at Home show, Steve Sharippa, is at the Yankees game tonight as Trevor's story goes deep.
That piece of garbage, Ellen DeGeneres.
Steve Sharippa of Sopranos fame had a bad word for everybody.
He did. Let's go out to Keith in Buffalo Grove. Hey, Keith, you're on Hit and Run.
Hi, how are you?
We're trying good. To laugh. We're trying to feel good, Keith. Do you got Cubs optimism for tomorrow? Give it to us.
Well, I love the Cubs, but unfortunately, they're 26 out of 28 teams in runs batting in. Isn't since the second half. You've got Happ, who is just terrible at batting right now. He's just inconsistent. You have Pete Crow Armstrong, who looks like he's overmatched and wants to do everything. Horner is right on topic. He's terrific, okay? They should be not doing batting practice. They should be doing Horner practice on his patience and him taking the right pitches. If the Cubs get people on base, they've got good speed, okay? Horner in the first inning, it was the first or second inning, he was on base. They should have run and had some aggressiveness on it. But for some reason, they began to be very conservative. I think the Cubs need to attack, and like you guys said, Horner needs to go to eighth.
Horner. No, you want him getting as many bats as possible.
You're talking about Happ going to eighth. Yeah, I was with you on wondering if maybe Nico was going to run when you're down 1-0 there in the first inning, and Happ is up there, especially after all the talk, Lawrence, on our station last week about how Happ and Horner work so nicely together when in terms of Happ knowing when to let Nico go, but he did not go, and you had empty at bats from Happ and Tucker right there in the first when he could have pounced back.
And how about the fact that the Padres were like, oh, we're about to get real aggressive on you early on. That they leaned into the you go as we go with Tatis.
Yeah.
And they kind of got him locked in early on in the game. And then you have a double steal where there's no throw. And it only netted them one run, but that one run was enough for them to feel confident about going forward. Like, you could see that juice that you're looking for. They had it after that run.
Yeah, they did. And Tatis looked like one of the best players in the game today, and that's what he is, with the single in the first, part of that double steal, scoring the run, the walk in the fifth to help set up the eventual Machado bomb, and he made that excellent catch down the right field line as well. So, yeah, you know, look, they've got some studs who don't always play like studs, but they're a very capable bunch. I said yesterday, and I said it again today, that the Padres have been less than the sum of their parts at times this year. And it's a good sum, though. It's a good sum of their parts. It's a good batch of parts, I should say. So I hope the Cubs are the better batch of parts tomorrow.
Let's go with Dom in Glendale Heights. Hey, Dom, you're on Hit and Run.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
First, you need to set up this order. You need to put Nico at the top. You need to put Dansby second. Seau three, okay? Bush Junior four, Seau. Because those guys are putting the ball in play, okay? Which means you protect the hitter behind you with the better hitters. Happ needs to either sit on the bench or be dead last. Shaw ahead of him. PCA ahead of him. That's it. These guys ain't putting the numbers together. The pitching against us was not – our pitching was fine. If we can't overcome three runs, we're done. Okay, we're done. There was no execution out there, no patience. They're swinging at garbage. It's and Happ's the kid that he wants to be a 12-year-old, sit on the bench and cry. Go right ahead. You're not helping a team with four automatic outs. You're the best player for the other team at that point.
Okay. All right, Dom.
Thank you. Thank you for the passion, Dom. Dom's feeling it. I think Happ and Shaw and PCA is 7, 8, and 9 is how it ought to be tomorrow. I do think that's the case. And then I'm fine with Bush leading off. I think Bush does put some fear into the opposition, and he's almost gone deep twice, and he's been on fire in the month of September. But I think he's right about what the bottom three should be, and I'll stop there.
Okay. I mean, that's a bit of a change. But, you know, if Johnny Allstaff is coming out there, then maybe it's the manager has to take some chances too, right?
Yeah. 270 RBIs for the Cubs in the second half puts them 20th out of 30.
Not 28th.
No, not 26 out of 28. I don't even know where he got 28. But anyway, you know.
You know, what are you going to do, right?
Yeah, it's fun with numbers.
It is fun with numbers, although it's not real fun right now.
No, it isn't.
With numbers. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do one more segment with you before we hand it over to Judson. 312-644-6767. It's a special hit and run with Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.
Folks, we are live on 670 The Score, and Judson Richards will be too. He will have your Cubs post. After this special edition of Hit and Run wraps up, this Cubs post. And I got to say, Lawrence Holmes, I took a picture and I tweeted it of the microphone and the laptop that the great Paul Zerang has let me use here.
Shout out to Ziggy for sticking around. He didn't have to do that.
Yeah, that is for sure. He's the best. And an empty Wrigley Field down below with the game lights still on. And I hope this is not the last time I'm here. I won't be here tomorrow. I hope this postseason does not end tomorrow. It had the feeling yesterday of why not this team, because certain teams catch fire sort of out of nowhere and with surprising bullpen killers like Brad Keller or Andrew Kittredge or Daniel Palencia. It does happen in MLB. But today the vibes are very, very different, and the bats got to get going tomorrow for this postseason to continue.
The why not is the 24 strikeouts in two games. That's the why not for now. But there's still a game left to play. And while Darvish's resume overall is intimidating, his 12-pitch mix is intimidating, and he's been okay since coming back from, thoracic nerve injury. It's still a guy that you should be able to do something against, and I'm curious to see what the approach is going to be. If Craig leans on hitters that have had experience against Darvish and gives them more opportunities at bats, do you sit people down because you're desperate? Do you go with guys because they've been the guys that you've gone with the entire season? But the great thing about it is that there's still a game left to play.
Yeah, absolutely. I keep coming back to Nico because I just have so much respect for him as a player and for his approach. Scratch and fight and claw your way onto base. And you and I have talked a lot about Dansby Swanson, and I've seen Dansby happily just looking for line drives. And I want more guys thinking about that, you know? And whether it's Pete or whether it's Ian, like, I respect the fact that you have power, but I'd just scratch and fight and claw, get yourself on base, and be as scrappy as you need to be, and find a way to gut out one ball game, and then you can regroup for a couple of days and go from there.
We'd love to tell you when we're going to be on tomorrow, but we don't know because there's still baseball left to be played, and so the schedule is still flexible, and we don't know. If the Cubs play at 2:08, then I will have a special edition of Hit and Run tomorrow after Spiegel and Holmes without Spiegel.
And maybe that'll be the case, but no matter what, tomorrow is the decisive game 3. And it will be on The Score. Raheemy Harris and Grody will be live from Gallagher Way.
Starting at 10 o'clock.
And going until God knows when.
Until special Cubs pregame, even if it's at 4:08.
Yeah, have a good show, everybody. And remember that every local broadcast of Cubs playoff baseball can be heard on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. I haven't done a partnered hit and run since Barry Rosner left the building. So this was fun, Lawrence. Thank you.
Oh, this was a lot of fun for me, too. And I'm looking forward to stay inside of the branding if everything stays status quo. And if not, there'll be a Spiegel and Holmes show until 3:30, and then I'm going home. And then to Clown College.
Clown College? I can't eat that. Thank you to Paul Zerang for sticking around here very much at the radio booth. Thank you to Alex Kuhn for sticking around here and being a part of everything. Chris Tannehill came in and worked and is still working. Tyler Buterbaugh did Buterbaugh type of things. And Lawrence Holmes was my co-host here on Hit and Run.
Tanny has on a stadium swim cap today. And I love it.
Mentally, I'm still there. Yeah. I haven't left.
That's a beautiful thing. Judson Richards is next. Phone callers, Cub fans, baseball people, stick around and talk to Judson. He knows the game. Thanks for listening to Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, and him, Lawrence Holmes, right here on 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Houston, when the game's on the line, you trust the Texans to deliver. When your life's on the line after an accident, trust the official personal injury attorney of the Houston Texans, Sheriff Injury Law Firm. Insurance companies have a game plan, and so do we. We fight for your rights, your recovery, and your results. After an accident, before you call the insurance company, call Sheriff Injury Law Firm. Sheriff Injury Law Firm, proud partner of the Houston Texans. Houston's choice for real, relentless results. Go to www.callthesheriff.com.